the Bible. She could read a newspaper. She could read a magazine. But she could pick the Bible up. And she could read verse after verse after verse. All of her life, she wanted one of the promise boxes. Now she got her one. Because those that had scripture on them, she could read those. She had a Pentecost. Not just a gentle move in her life. She had a Pentecost. And the day that I walked in the nursing home room and saw her laying there in that bed, just a shell of flesh hanging on bones, I stepped up by her bedside and she opened up her eyes. It was the first time that I'd ever heard anybody address me that way. But she said, "Here you are. You're going to be our next preacher boy that comes out of the church." I never forgot that. I never forgot that. Especially the night that Brother Jim Suit said, it was 3 hours in that Elko service that I, as a teenager, was lost in the presence of the Holy Ghost, lost in the presence of God. Brother Jim Suit said there wasn't a sound of music. There wasn't a song. There wasn't an instrument. There was nothing but 3 hours of the presence of God that fell in that tabernacle. And I came out of that tabernacle that night, dyed in the wool, true blue, devoted and consecrated to God, because I had my Pentecost. I wasn't just in the move of God. I had my Pentecost. And I'm telling you, I submit this to our teenagers and our young folks, that whole row right there of children. I'm telling you, I'm looking at them and I'm looking at their age level. And I'm thinking about back home, little girls and little boys in our church. They don't understand everything about it. Some of them, when they're seeking the Lord, they think it, a lot of it has to be in your ankles because they move forward and they move back. They've just tried to take everything that they've seen and everything that they've watched and lump it into one sum and try to do that down there at the altar. Just trying to do what they've seen other folks do down there at the altar because they were wanting to have their Pentecost. Now listen, I mean, when Sister Norris come out of that church pew that night, ran across the front of that little Carnac church, I was standing over there by the side of the corner, probably thinking about mischief. In fact, I was mischief. She come running around that corner, run down the back of that side of that church, headed for the back, cut back across the back, and she fell back there in the back of the church on that old furnace grate that was there on the floor. I'd been warned about that thing so many times, and there were several different places on that grate where you could trace my footprints and know that I'd stood back there till the bottom of my shoe started to melt, just because I knew they didn't want me to. I mean, I didn't have one pair of shoes that didn't look like a checkerboard underneath, because I'd go back there and stand on that grate. And young folks, you children, listen. You teenagers, listen. That night in that service, she ran to the back of the church and fell on that burning, churning, hot, dancing furnace grate in the back of that church. And the minute that she did, I cried out. I looked at Sister Maureen, who was there at the piano, and I cried out, "Somebody's got to go help Sister Norris. She has fallen on that furnace grate." And Sister Maureen, sitting there at that piano, said, "You don't have to worry about it. Everything is under control tonight." And I'm telling you, as a child, I watched and I looked. I was looking for some kind of marking on Sister Norris when she got up off that floor and straightened out that long dress and brushed down her sleeves and started back down that aisle with her hands in the air, worshiping and magnifying God. I never forgot that. I never forgot that. And since that time, I've been around the hypocrites. Since that time, I've sat in congregations and listened to preachers who were just 2 sermons away from falling. They had already decided their course in life, and they were about as saved as a whippoorwill. I've sat in church services and watched it get tight because of an issue that arose or because of somebody who may be saying something at that moment. I've been in revivals that me and my wife could not figure out why they even called us, because it was evident they wasn't wanting to have one. And I've been in those very services where I felt about as at home as a good case of the flu. But I mean, I never allowed myself to forget that night that the genuine fell inside that church and that homeless lady laid back there on that grate, and it didn't burn her, singe her, or make any mark upon her. I'll never forget that. I remember going back there at the end of service, checking that thing out. Somebody must have turned it off. Somebody must have done something to it, because she should have had some kind of checkerboard, especially on her cheek, where she laid there with her face against that grate for quite some time. I'm telling you that in the service tonight, you have witnessed different folks that have felt a move and felt the manifestation of the power of God and the Spirit of God. But a move of Pentecost in this house would go to snatching young folks off the pews in the back of this church. Go to snatching young men and young ladies up that are three or four seats from the back. It would move from the back of the house and start in this direction. A real move of the Holy Ghost that would fall in such proportions that it wouldn't just be the same person saying and the same person running. It wouldn't be the same thing on the menu. There'd be something entirely different. And I'm telling you, we're going to lose a young generation. We're going to lose a next generation. Did you know, according to Scripture in the New Testament, when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem upon the donkey, and they started saying Hosanna and worshiping and threw their coats and their cloaks down in his way. Did you know that a few verses later, it happened again in the temple. It happened again among the children. And the children were saying Hosanna, and they were worshiping. You know why? Because they had seen and heard their parents doing that. And they knew that that was the right thing to do. I'm telling you, a Pentecost would answer a lot of questions. It would clean out a lot of hearts. It would change a lot of ideas. It would change a lot of people's motive. It would change a lot of people's character. That real, genuine Pentecost to move into a church. Now I'm telling you, I've been there when David Brock has preached with such an anointing that with his pacemaker, or his spacemaker, or his microwave, whatever they got buried there inside that boy, when that thing went off and jarred him, I watched it. It happened one time, or maybe two different times there at Richlands. And at one time, he told Sister Sharon, he says, okay, so she's sitting there wondering if his eyes was going to light up like a light bulb. He says, okay. He said, I watched that happen. I watched that man of God up there behind that pulpit, and I watched him recover and go right back into his message, because there are some things in life that's just absolutely a necessity. At that moment, it was a necessity to hear what God had to say. But at this moment, it's a necessity for you to get what God wants you to feel. You have the Holy Ghost. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost. My wife, how old was you, honey, when it really burned on you about the things that God just hollered out back there? 7 or 8. Woo! I wished I could have met her then. We might have been married by the time we were both 12. Don't look at me like that. The Mormons do it all the time. Listen, I'm telling you something. I mean, there was something grabbed a hold of her life, and she had no idea what was going to be raised in that little church, her and the youth group of one. But brother, sister, she had a Pentecost, and when she did, she never forgot it, and it's carried her down the road to this night, into this service right here. These young folks, these children, these young folks, these teenagers, those young folks, those older young folks, the young men and the young ladies in this room, I'm going to tell you something. They're going to bury me one of these days, and they're going to bury others one of these days, and there's going to be a generation. I hope you know more about the Holy Ghost than you do a video game. I hope you know more about the Holy Ghost than you do the World Series or the Super Bowl. I hope you know more about the Holy Ghost than anything, and you can if you have a Pentecost. Now, I don't know how long Ralph Cox preached. I ain't got time to ask him. But I know this one thing. In a revival that me and my sweetheart had in that church for several nights, they turned people away at the door. There was no room outside the parking of the car. Churches was dismissing their services. Calling Brother Cox, telling him, Sunday night, Brother Ralph, if you'll wait about 15 or 20 minutes till we can get the preliminaries over in our church, we're going to shut service down. We're coming to your church. That's the kind of revival that we was having. I mean, they came from miles and miles. And I listened to them. I watched them trying to park cars out there on the grass of that little church. But I'm telling you, there was one night in that house that the Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost fell. They didn't need me. The Holy Ghost didn't even want me. The Holy Ghost didn't even use me. I was standing back in the back of the pews, back there with my horn, waiting for him to turn the service to me. And all of a sudden, listen to me, folks. I want you to hear about stuff you may have never seen. I want you to listen. Brother Ralph Cox plowed off of that platform, grabbed the altar bench that was there in the floor in front of him, put it under his arm, and ran down the center aisle, carrying that altar, ran just as hard as he could run, because the Holy Ghost was all over him, and he didn't know what else to do. At that very moment, the guitar player on the platform took his instrument and put it over the stand. He stood up and he said, I've been playing this guitar for years, and I'm not even right with God. And he piled off of that platform, and while Brother Cox was running with the altar, we got a sinner here trying to have one. We wasn't just having a move of God, we were having a Pentecost. At that very moment, we couldn't find one of the other deacons. He had already shouted to the back of the church and was back there between the wall and Brother Cox's books in the back portion of that old church over there. I mean, we could hear him back there knocking down books, shouting, rejoicing. I'm telling you, we wasn't just having a move of God. We were having a Pentecost. And when Glenn Beshear left that night, he took Pentecost back to Hale Station. And when Aaron Brock left that night, he took Pentecost back down to Prague. And when, are you getting this? When Carl Page left that night, we had something that happened in that place that wasn't just a feel-good one-night visitation. It was something that we wrapped ourselves in and had such a visitation of God that it's been years down the road, and I still remember. I don't remember the offerings. I don't remember what I preached. I don't remember who I was there. I don't remember who I wasn't there. But I remember we were having Pentecost. And at that very moment, that was the only thing that was on my mind. What could happen in this house right now if somebody in this room leaned back and said, oh God of heaven, oh power of the universe, I need to have a Pentecost for myself where I'm not just a spectator, but I become a participator in the very things of God. Now, I'm not Brother Gabbard. That's evident. But at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle, before I was ever there, Sister Gregory fell off of the platform over on the organ side of the church and broke her leg and fell out between the platform and the little pew over there against the wall. The saints rallied. The saints rallied. And before they could reach a cell phone, it hadn't even been created at that time, they reached the anointing oil that's been with us for a long, long time. And Danny Judd said that night when they laid hands on Sister Gregory, when the little old boy laid hands on her, and when others in that congregation, like Billy Joe Boone, laid hands on her, that night in that service, that broken leg straightened out right there in front of them. And she lifted herself up off the floor and allowed the glory of God to fill that house. I'm not just a whistling Dixie up here, and I'm not talking about a one-night move of God. I'm talking about a Pentecost that has gone down through the annals of time, and we still talk about it at Calvary and still get just as excited, knowing that if he did it one time, he could do it another time. Anybody that would allow themselves to get full of the Holy Ghost. Brother J.D. Hobbs came walking through the door that night so sick. We'd been praying for him. His flesh was starting to hang on his bones, and he was all drooped and come walking in that church. Brother J.D. Hobbs, that never doctored, never had anything at that time, never did with a doctor. He come down that aisle. We'd been praying for him. We knew he was sick. And Brother Hobbs come through that door pale. He looked like death rolled over. I knew he was coming toward the front. And for just a brief moment, I said to myself, self, what are you going to do with this now? Brother Hobbs, come down to the front. I want you young folks to listen. Brother Hobbs, come down to the front. He walked down to where the altar was at, and he sat down on the altar, and he said, I am sick, and I have come tonight for my healing, which he got. Which took that service and turned it upside down. Because when God's Holy Ghost is unleashed in a church service, there's not a problem he can't solve. There's not a worry he can't quench. There's not a restless night's sleep that he can't give you the peace of God that passeth all understanding. If you would get full of the Holy Ghost and have a Pentecost for yourself, we might be able to do without a few less things in the medicine cabinet and have a whole lot better life and have a whole lot better existence. We really need to have that Pentecost. Now I'm just talking about stuff you older folks, you're just wedged in the middle of this. I'm just talking about some stuff because I know we got these teenagers here and these young folks here, and we've got them listening here, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I would have loved a while ago to have seen some of them girls pile out of that pew, step out into that aisle, raise them hands, look to the heavens, and tell the Holy Ghost of God, I want to be full of what some of these other folks are feeling right now. I want to be full of it. We've been so programmed to get in the bleachers and watch 10 boys throw a ball through a hoop. And we've been so programmed to sit in the grandstands and watch somebody throw a football up and down the field. We've been programmed to be in track. We've been programmed to go to the prom. We've been programmed to run with everybody. We've been programmed to see the latest and have the latest and wear the latest. And sometimes we come to the house of God and things get boring for a young generation. They just want to get out. They just want to get on the McDonald's. They just want to get this thing behind them. And I'm telling you, that's what's worrying me. Because, brother, sister, there's nothing to be boring about having a refilling and a move of Pentecost in your midst. It's a life-changing thing. And I'd love to see some young folks in here tonight get hungry. I can't remember if I was preaching a meeting or if I was in a hospital someplace. maybe both. Seem like sometimes they run hand in hand in my life. I can't remember. But that's one thing I do remember. Wherever I was at, I felt a twinge of a vibration. And I grabbed the old dinosaur egg here. And I opened it up. And I looked and it said, "You have a message." I felt so honored. I tell you, I felt so honored. I didn't know that pterodactyl eggs could do that. I looked at that thing, and I pushed that little button, and I'm just honest with you, I didn't know that you could see a picture of church and hear the service at the same time. Huh? You ain't got a thing like that, have you? Oh. I mean, I didn't know you could do it. And I pushed that little button wherever I was at, and they were hollering, and they were screaming, and they were yelling, and Jerissa Heath was laying in the floor, had been filled at that very moment with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, I was looking at that, I just felt that run through me, another young person in a new generation that's allowed themselves to have a Pentecost until it filled them. And brother, sister, that's one young lady I ain't had no trouble with yet. The trouble I got with her is she's trying to get taller than me. And it shouldn't take her but another week and a half, because she's getting close. But I'm telling you, she got full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't want y'all just to have a heart attack here, but I'm going to tell you something. If some young person come boiling out of one of them pews right now with their hands in the air, crying, "Oh, Lord, I'm hungry and I want to be fed," or, "Oh, Lord, I'm thirsty and I want to be filled," that wouldn't knock you out of the saddle, would it? That wouldn't turn you into such disarray that you wouldn't know that you ought to follow them down to the front and help lay hands on them and believe that God is a fixing in another generation to do more than just make us feel good. He's going to give us a baptism of the Holy Ghost of God and call the next evangelist or the next missionary or the next pastor right here in this house tonight. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. God. God. Talk to them young ones on that second row. Talk to them teenagers in the back of the house. Move down the sides of this congregation. Walk down that aisle tonight. Point your finger in their direction. Speak to us. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let's just be mindful a minute of the Lord. For some unseen reason, He's decided that He'd like to tell you something right now Himself. Let's just listen. Let's just listen. Let's just see. Let's just listen. Let's just feel after Him. Let's just seek after Him. Let's just search after Him. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. May the next sound we hear be a young man in this house standing to his feet, lifting his hands to the heaven, asking the young folks that he's sitting by to draw your legs in. Let me slide by you. It's time for me to go up there to the front. And instead of watching Pentecost, it's time for me to have Pentecost.
I have come to fulfill my word. I have come to keep my promise. I will do this. I will help you. I will create in you a holy passion for my way.
You know what I'd do if I was 9 years old and I recognized that something was pulling on me? I'd ease out of that pew. I'd walk up to the front of this church and throw my young hand in the air. And I'd say, if you'd done it for Sister Height when she was 7, I'm well old enough. I know.